In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, the Lord, as the great lawgiver, always fulfills his own commandments. And he gave among the Ten Commandments the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother. And of course, he fulfills the commandments better than anyone, giving greater honor to his heavenly Father and to the one who would become his earthly mother, the Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, the birth giver of God. We celebrated just yesterday her Nativity, and it's one of the many feasts, actually, that are dedicated to the Lord's Mother. We celebrate her birth, which is the Nativity, but before that, even her conception, then later her presentation into the temple, also her presentation after the 40 days of bearing the Christ child. We celebrate the Annunciation of the Archangel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary. And we celebrate her dormition, her translation from earth to heaven, from death to life. Additionally, throughout the year, there are many feast days dedicated to icons of the Virgin Mary that have performed miracles throughout the centuries. And the Lord teaches us how we should celebrate by establishing these feasts where we come to the church and we partake of Holy Communion, that mystical festival that we're invited to, as we heard about last Sunday in the Gospel, calling us to come to that feast that we just celebrated yesterday. We celebrate these feasts with prayer, worship, feasting at the Lord's table, joy, fellowship, and camaraderie with fellow believers who, by choice, follow the scriptural prophecy of becoming part of those generations who call the Virgin Mary blessed. We celebrate her Nativity as a great holy day. And the Church appoints, after each holy day, feast days that commemorate the other persons associated with those great events in salvation history. Today we commemorate Saints Joachim and Anna. We're very familiar with them because at the end of every service, they're listed in the saints, the holy and righteous Joachim and Anna, the ancestors of God. They were the grandparents of the Christ child, the mother and father of the Virgin Mary. And tradition tells us about who they were. Joachim was of the tribe of Judah, descended of King David. Anna was of the tribe of Levi, descendant of Aaron the priest, and they represented these kingly and priestly tribes, and they gave this lineage to their child, the Virgin Mary. They were righteous, they lived devoutly and quietly. It says that they took one-third of their income, and they gave it directly to the Lord. They took one-third of their income and gave it directly to the poor, and then they lived on the last one-third of their income. And because of this stewardship and this faithfulness and this trust in God, God multiplied the flocks of Joachim. His wealth increased. And he had a home in Nazareth and also a home in Jerusalem. And that was a great privilege for a Jew in that time, to have a home in the holy city. But Joachim and Anna, although they were righteous and walking blamelessly before God, they were childless. And they were married for some 50 years without a child. And this was a very difficult thing for them to bear, because the Israelites expected every family to bring forth children, because of their line, of their lineage, eventually would come the Messiah, the chosen one. And if you didn't, somehow you were not blessed by God, they thought. Joachim came one day to bring his offerings to the temple. And Issachar, the high priest, said, "Enough is enough. We're not going to receive your offerings anymore." And the others there upbraided Joachim. They said, "You think that you're righteous. You think you're walking blamelessly, but you don't have a child. Where's the proof? Where's the proof of God's blessing upon you? There is none." And Joachim was really cut to the heart, because he wanted God's blessing. He wanted to be a servant of the Lord. He wanted to be part of this lineage of these people who were expecting their Messiah to be born. And he left the temple that day, and he went with his flocks up into the mountains, and there he prayed and he wept. When Anna heard what had happened, she wept as well. And she prayed. And the two of them were united spiritually in this prayer before God. And it was prayer that comes only from a heart that really is humble. And they offered this prayer to God, and he heard it. And he sent the archangel Gabriel, who appeared to the two of them, and told them that they would bear a child. Even though they were elderly, they would bear a child. It had happened before, it would happen again. And they came together, having seen this vision of the archangel Gabriel, having heard his message, and they conceived the child in the natural way. But something beyond nature happened. Elderly people, beyond the age of childbearing, gave birth to a child. Again, an act of God in salvation history. And they promised that this child that they would receive would be dedicated back to him as a gift. That this child would be used to his glory in whatever fashion he would deign. And of course, we celebrate, as I mentioned, one of the other feasts of the Mother of God, where she's presented into the temple. She goes to live in the apartments there around the temple, to be reared in the ways of the Lord. We won't speak about that today. That's November 21st. But this conception story speaks to us about Saints Joachim and Anna and their righteousness and their trust in God. But it mostly speaks to us about the Virgin, about the Mother of God that they brought forth. Because she was, after that long line of parents, from Adam and Eve down to her, she was the last, because she would be a virgin. She would not have the coupling that men and women normally have. She would not bring forth a child as everyone previously had. Something would be different about her. As an illustration, I put before you the Matryoshka dolls. Who's heard of those? Some of you. Okay. They're the Russian nesting dolls. Stacking dolls, sometimes they're called. It's a set of wooden dolls of decreasing size placed one inside of the other. Another way that this could be described is a babushka doll. Matryoshka doll comes from the term little matron, a married woman, especially a dignified and sober-minded middle-aged woman. Babushka doll means a grandmother or an old woman. And it speaks to us about giving birth and generations and lineage. In a way, it speaks to us really about the Hebrew people who were awaiting their Messiah, who would come after these series of births. When we think about the Matryoshka doll, when we think about Saints Joachim and Anna, we can see them as two people joined together by God, who would then give birth to this virgin. But they struggled in opening that container. They struggled in giving birth. To picture a young child after opening, say, hundreds of these Matryoshka dolls stacked, they get down to the layer of Saints Joachim and Anna. Things are getting very small. There's great expectation to find that last one. And they're trying to open it, and they can't. They can't open it. And then finally they do. They open it. And inside is this humble little Virgin Mary. But she actually doesn't have anything to twist. Nothing to turn. Nothing to open. She doesn't have another half. It's only her. And for those who are unaware of the prophecies, this might be something of wonderment, sorrow perhaps. Isn't the Christ supposed to be a male child? The end of the lineage? Isn't it supposed to be this great king and this great priest? Why are we dealing with this woman? And yet, the prophets tell us that it's precisely a virgin who would give birth. Someone who doesn't have another half. Remember the prophet Isaiah? Behold, this will be a sign for you. A virgin will be with child. Virgins are not with children. But she became both virgin and mother. Mary the Theotokos, the birth giver of God, foretold by the prophets. And we heard in the hymnology about all of these illustrations and types in the Old Testament that prefigured the virgin birth. These types and these illustrations, they don't prefigure a man and a woman coming together and giving birth to a child. They prefigure both virginity and motherhood. Think about this. The Ark of the Covenant, the candlestick, the rod of Aaron that budded, the ladder, the house of wisdom, the gate that was shut that faces east, the mountain uncut by human hands, the tablets of the law where the word of God was inscribed, not by men, but by the finger of God, the jar that contained not the bread of earth, but the bread that fell from heaven, the manna. All of these types and illustrations typify the mystery of a virgin mother. And she becomes the fulfillment of all of these, becoming the new Eve. Why is she called the new Eve? Well, Christ is called the new Adam. But think about Adam and Eve in the very beginning. God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, breathed into him his spirit, he became a living being. Where did Eve come from? From the rib of Adam. Eve came directly from Adam, from his flesh. With Christ and the Mother of God, we have Christ coming directly from the flesh of the Mother of God. And they begin a new race, a new lineage. Those who would be incorporated into this lineage are those who are baptized into Christ, who are born again, not of flesh and blood, but of the will of our Father in heaven. We become people who receive Christ within us. That's what happened to the apostles. They received Christ within them. That's what happened to the next generation. Picture another Matryoshka doll on top, and another generation, and all the way down to us. We all receive Christ within us, and we become part of this new spiritual lineage. Brothers and sisters, I want to share with you three things to think about as we contemplate this great feast and this great privilege to be people who receive Christ within us. When we think about Saints Joachim and Anna, we're taught many lessons. One, that we should never judge a person by the external circumstances of their life. We think we can determine whether someone's blessed by God or someone is not blessed by God based upon external things. We can't. The Jews made that great mistake with Saints Joachim and Anna. It is not wealth that blesses us. It is not children that bless us. Nor is it poverty or the lack of children that shows forth a curse. What blesses us and what brings forth righteousness is walking in the ways of the Lord, keeping his commandments, being faithful, becoming virtuous. Joachim and Anna were virtuous in the great things God had given them, in all of their wealth, and they were virtuous in the difficult crosses that they carried, the barrenness. And sometimes it's these very difficult crosses that show forth a person's virtue and spur them on to greater spiritual heights. Never judge a person by the external circumstances. Lesson one. Lesson two. We must learn to be faithful, both in the good times and in the bad. We have to be people who trust in God's providence, both in the good and the bad. It's easy to be trusting when the things of life are coming to us easily and everything is going great. Thanks be to God, glory to Him for all of these blessings. But what happens when things don't turn out so well? We can be tempted to turn against God. Joachim and Anna were like Job. No matter what happens, they blessed the name of the Lord. And God, who heard their prayer and their difficulty, came with a great blessing beyond their expectation. And God does that for us. The blessing isn't always according to our expectation. It is beyond the expectation. It may not be what we want. It might be what is better for us. But that blessing will come because God always hears the cry of a humble, broken heart. Lesson 3. We should find our joy in God's providence for our life. And God's providence has brought us here to this church, to become part of this spiritual lineage, to become part of this holy family. People who have received Christ within us. And ultimately, that is our joy. That is our joy, to have received this Messiah, this Savior, this one foretold in the Law and the Prophets, this one who is the answer to every question, who solves every problem, who is life itself. We get to receive Christ within us. What a great privilege it is to be a Christian. What a great privilege it is to honor our fathers and mothers, to remember our past, to remember what has transpired in salvation history, to come to this church and to pray and to worship, and to enjoy the feast at the Lord's table as part of His family. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in everything that God has given you. Stay strong and patient, and endure the trials and the crosses of this life. Look with expectation for that which is to come, because it's better than you imagine. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.